It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and marriage counselor Daniel Pryor this week. We're looking at the subject of marriage, one of your favorites, I think a listener's favorite if they're married. And you're talking about this phenomenon you're running across, creating a spouse we cannot love, that couples get into that trap, and we want to try and help people with that this week.
Yeah, and we just to give a little background, this is, I think, important for counselors. It's certainly important, I think, for pastors who do marriage counseling, because I know that as a counselor, And I did a lot of para counseling too in the church years ago, and talk to pastors often about that are frustrated in, you know, with maybe a couple that they're counseling, and it just seems that this is a couple that can't move forward. You know, you give them scripture, and they seem to say everything right. They're believers. If you had the husband in your office, you'd believe everything he said. And if you had the wife in your office, you'd believe everything she said. But when you get them both together, something isn't working. We've talked about how personalities get in the way and disordered personalities and things like that. But this also is something, you know, after a while, you just kind of scratch your head and you say, you know, as I've said to couples, you're creating a spouse that you can't love. You're fixating on faults and berating this person. And can you give a little of an example out of this context, maybe to help people get more, maybe something like a holographic view of this issue that we're talking about? I remember when I was in school, I think it was junior high school. This kind of thing is maybe typical in junior high school. There's always somebody beating somebody up. But there were three brothers that I got in my mind, in my head, I just didn't like these three guys. And it wasn't because they'd done anything particularly wrong. In fact, they were polite to me and, you know, and I just had it in my head that I didn't like them and I didn't want to like them. And so it didn't, the nicer they were to me, the more I disliked them. And just, you know, I would just go to sleep thinking about pounding them someday.
Really? Okay.
And the way it worked out was that their dad found out that I was beginning to play the guitar, and he'd played the guitar for a while. So they invited our family up for Sunday dinner. And he took out his guitar. He asked me to bring mine along, and so he took out his guitar, and we strummed a little bit. And from that point on, it just didn't feel right, you know, to be dreaming about pounding his sons when. And so that just so.
Did they play instruments also? Or the
no,
kids?
They didn't.
Oh.
No, they didn't.
Well, maybe they wanted to pound you after that.
Well, it's an example, and maybe one of the things that helped me to clarify this with other couples, and when I see these couples and I realize that, you know, you have a vested interest in creating a person that you don't like. Mm. And so as much as we talk about the things that can move you forward, until something happens, you know, really in your heart, none of this counseling
you're
gonna is
be
going
committed to the
have.
Narrative. Your
That's,
narrative.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Mm. So we went through some of this last week, and of course, it'll be at the podcast if people are tuning in on this topic and thinking, well, we should have caught the first part. You can catch the first part. Right. That will be at BibleBasedCounselor.com in the
last
podcast.
Week's show. Right. This is a multi-part series, I think. Creating the spouse we cannot love. So this is part two this week.
Yeah. So we're going to jump in with some examples. We talked last week about how ways in which a pastor or a counselor might identify a couple is creating that spouse they can't love, or maybe I'm talking to a couple. There's a good chance that I'm talking to a married person or a married couple who maybe this isn't an an extreme situation in your marriage, but you can see that you're actually doing a little bit of this. So he gave some, started to give some examples. We were talking about how different ways that people can denigrate. Sometimes it has to do around the theme of sex, but not always. Sometimes it's just condescension in the way that they communicate, mocking tone, making fun of the other person, or belittling what they say. Sometimes in front of friends, and I've even seen this happen in front of children, the children of the home, which is very dangerous, where yes. The parents, they make the children allies to their side of the yes. argument. And that does so much harm with kids, not only immediately, but can have repercussions generations down. Mm. And then other like passive-aggressive ways of denigrating one another by, ignoring chores that need to be done and ways of helping the other person or half-heartedly doing things. So an example of that might be a husband, say, for example, that has no time to maintain the car's wife or see to repairs of appliances or things getting done around the house or helping with the parenting, but he finds time to golf, surf the web, and watch television. Mm-hmm. And so this is a passive aggression, and it's sending a clear message to the wife that she doesn't really matter very much. Mm-hmm. And so this is a way of creating a person you can't love. Another tactic that's really prevalent involves a variety of dysfunctional communication styles. You know, important communication is in building trust and affection. And so people sometimes will use dysfunctional communication styles to make sure that the relationship doesn't become intimate or vulnerable. Or the lack of communication is quite often cited in the problem. You know, he won't communicate, she won't communicate. And so a lack of communication, and that's and a lot of times, in fact, they'll come in with that reporting issue. We can't communicate. And then as you're talking, you find out that they're choosing not to communicate.
Right.
Here's an example that I had of this. A counselor had a couple who came in with that reporting problem. We can't communicate. And so it was a long session and full of examples that they gave of how they they couldn't communicate, and demonstrations of how they couldn't communicate. Mm. It was time for them to pay the bill, and it was a sliding fee, and so the counselor needed to know what their income was. So he asked, "What's your income?" And without speaking a word, they just kind of raised their eyebrows at each other and came up with a number. And the counselor said, "Well, you're communicating now."
Yeah.
They can exchange data whenever they need to, but they choose not to commune. And that's the thing. Now, they're not going to say when they come in that, well, we can't commune. And that would point very directly to the deeper issue. They'll say we can't communicate, and then you can talk about communication tools, and they'll shake their heads. Yes, yeah, we could try that. We could try that. They won't try it. They'll come back the next week and say we can't communicate, or we didn't try to communicate, because to commune you have to be vulnerable. Communing is the sharing of persons, and this is what they're trying to avoid. Mm-hmm. So communing, you have to be vulnerable. It leads to a kind of affection that's going to cost you something, and I think we intuit this. I often talk to people about having their foot on the brake in the relationship, not letting themselves get too vulnerable, too intimate, because where will that lead? And I think we intuit that, although I don't know where all it's going to lead, one thing that I'm pretty sure it's going to mean is that I don't get as much control
right.
as I've wanted to hang on to. So we sort of keep our cards close. So communication intentionally they communicate intentionally in adversarial ways and contentious ways to guarantee against a deeper communion. It doesn't, of course, they would not recognize that they're doing that. This is something that they have to come to realize. Usually, though, when people are creating a spouse that they can't love, the person setting before you and doing that is not presenting the truth. They're not being honest about their role. And even, you could ask the person, do you love her or do you love him? And you would not get an immediate answer. You'd get a hesitation, and then the answer would come out almost like a condition. It would sound like, well, yeah, with all kinds of conditions unstated. But avoiding communication also sends that message of how little the other person matters. So whether you communicate in an adversarial, contentious way, or whether you just refuse to communicate, and that's the other part of, we can't communicate, or you'll hear he won't communicate or she won't communicate. And so as long as I'm on the communication part, I might too add that it's typically the case that when one person, when person A says person B won't communicate, and if that's true, that they won't communicate, there's quite often a reason. So let's say if person A is a better communicator, and so that's how they beat the other person up verbally, so the other person, the only control they have is to stay out of the conversation. So there isn't oftentimes, again, it's both people equally at fault. I would say, I did say oftentimes, but as often as not, it's one person has, as I've said, been pretty well beat up, and the other person, and so you have one person that's already broken, and another person that's won't do things to get the situation fixed. And so if you're listening in, you kind of maybe identify with this a little bit and say, yeah, that resonates with me. Didn't realize I was actually creating a person that I couldn't love, or we don't really create the other person, but what I do is in my mind, I create the person in my mind that I can't love. And when I come back, I'll give an example of how subtle that can be. Before we move on to our next.
Okay, question. Looking at the subject of creating a spouse you cannot love, but we want to create a spouse we can love, and we're going to continue to explore this subject with life coach and marriage counselor Daniel Pryor. Does a lot of marriage counseling, all kinds of counseling and life coaching. If you need some help in this regard, Daniel would love to help you. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Well, call me at 425-778-6169. That's 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you will find these radio shows and podcasts. And, of course, I have offices in Edmonds and Kirkland.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with an encouraging word for struggling marriages. It's never too late to do the right thing if a husband and wife will fully commit to one another and apply a few biblically based fundamentals of intimate relationship. As a marriage counselor, I teach these fundamentals and their use. To learn more about how these might help your marriage, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, the Sound Mind broadcast this week, looking at the subject of creating a spouse you cannot love. The narrative we create in our minds about our loved one can be totally out to lunch and totally not in reality. And we want to try and correct that. But we do this. This is I think this is kind of what you do when you go to war with somebody. Even you create an enemy that isn't really, you're not making any efforts to understand the other person, and it can lead to all kinds of problems.
Yeah, in fact, there was a book written, I forget the name of the author. It's been a long time since I've read it, but the name of the book was The Face of the Enemy, and it had to do with, it was written at the close of the Vietnam War. Mm. And the book was actually about that situation of mm-hmm. how do you get to the place where you dislike someone so much, particularly someone that you've never met.
We almost have to, particularly for violence, you mm-hmm. have to kind of dehumanize the other person. This person,
that's exactly what you do. Mm-hmm. And you go down with them and that's one of the things about this, when you're creating a spouse that you can't love, you can't do that and be a loving person. Mm-hmm. And a husband that's creating a wife that he can't love, you're not doing your kids any favors, because you can't be, you know, as the scripture says, you can't have sweet and bitter water coming out of the same mm-hmm. faucet. You know, you just have the one personality. So if you're creating a spouse that you can't love, yeah, the cost of that is the marriage, and it's the children as well. Mm. I wanted to talk a little bit about the fact that we just got through talking about giving some examples of how this actually happens, where people denigrate and create this person that they can't love. And the thing is that what's frustrating for counselors and pastors is that these aren't processual issues that can just be resolved by modifying behavior. It's deeper than that. It has to do with not just process, but purpose. A person can come in and say, he doesn't always tell the truth, and the counselor can say, okay, Fred, from now on, always tell the truth. That isn't going to solve the problem. It goes deeper than that. Or, you know, the husband might say, the wife doesn't meet my sexual needs, and then because you get into kind of a touchy area, because a lot of times those sexual needs are, he's requiring something that's more dehumanizing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's exactly what you do. You brought up a good point. When you put a face on the enemy, or you create someone that you can't love, yeah, you're taking away their humanity, but you lose your own in the process. So the problems are deep. They're right at the cores of the persons involved, very deep. Well, they're spiritual, in fact, aren't they? So, so eventually, the couple will get to the point where it seems that there's just no hope for the relationship. They've done a good job of creating the person, or the husband or wife has done a good job of creating a person they can't love. Sometimes this will lead to, if I create a person that I can't love in the relationship, that will give me an excuse to look for someone outside of the relationship. And then, of course, you have this whole story about how I've met my soulmate or something like that. That's part of the story.
Right. Yeah.
But so eventually the couple will say, you know, think that, well, we're at a point where we just, there's no hope for the relationship. And they'll point to faults of the other person as to why they can't, even though the counselor or the pastor may still have advice at that point. And the counselor or the pastor might see clearly, very clearly, and it just almost looks as though if you could just reach inside the person's head and flip a switch, everything would be fine.
So yeah. As a counselor sitting there watching the way the people are interacting, and you have for maybe a number of sessions, are you able to just point out the obvious and say, you know, obviously, yeah. mm-hmm. you need to do more of this, mm-hmm. you need to do more of that. What is the answer? What do they say?
You can.
What do they say back to you? Say, sorry, I don't agree?
Well, they'll say different things. They'll say, yeah, we could try that, or we have tried that, or well, I can't do that because she won't do this, or I can't do that because he won't do this. There'll be a reason. Any suggested resolution, there'll be an excuse to why we can't.
Why that won't work.
And I've had people say, well, you just don't understand, you know, and that's kind of their excuse for why they don't need to try it, is because the counselor or the pastor just doesn't understand. Mm. So you can make those observations, and they can be very clear, but the person will find a reason why not, because they have a vested interest in creating someone, this other person that they don't love.
Right.
They'll point to issues such as trust, forgiveness, accountability, and so forth. And they'll say as to why they can't love the other person. It is terribly frustrating, and I've seen one or the other just break down and cry in the session, because it's just, I mean, the fact that they actually believe there's no way forward and no way back is real. It gets beyond the point of pretentious. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad, very painful for the couple, very frustrating for the pastor or the counselor, because the pastor or the counselor can, as I say, if we could just reach in and flip a switch, and you could do what I'm saying. Well, we do the same thing with Scripture, because there's not a situation we go through that the Bible doesn't have the answer, and you can be looking right at it. That it's like, it can't just reach out and flip.
I can't do that, God.
Yeah.
That's too hard.
Yeah, or there's a reason why it doesn't work in my case. And so, because it's the other person. Where does that sound familiar from? Oh, yeah, Genesis. The
right.
You know, it's the woman you gave me. Yeah, so terribly frustrating, really stuck. They can't go forward. They know they don't want to give up on the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to give up on the relationship. In fact, I said to a man one time, and he and his wife had come, and they came in separate doors. I had an office where you could do that. It was a large, large building. They drove separately and came in separate doors. And he started off by saying, "This is our last shot. You know, we've been to counselors and his body posture said, and this isn't going to be any different. You know, this isn't going to work either." And I had, over the time that I saw them, I worked with process, and I worked with process how the family could show her respect, you know, how he could change what he was doing, but not how he was feeling. I mean, because you can't reach in and flip that. And so one time he came and said, in 20 years of marriage, there's never been one thing about her I liked. Now, so this is clearly a man who has, because
he has
loved her enough to marry her.
He has definitely created a spouse he cannot love.
Yeah. So, then he came one time, and I'd been seeing them probably for, I don't know, a couple of years or 3 years. And so,
oh, really?
He came one time, and he just sat in the chair across me, and he just slumped. He was just beaten. And he said, "I'm stuck in this marriage." So he didn't want to give up on the marriage, but "I'm stuck.
I'm trapped.
Mm-hmm. And I said, "You can divorce her." And he got so angry, he said, "No, I can't." And he stomped out.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I just said that as a, to press a point. I said, "You can divorce her." And he said, "No, I can't." And then my last words, "Then what are you going to do?" And then he stomped out. But that was like a deal changer for him, because of course God was working on the inside of his heart, and he was realizing that he was creating this problem. He was creating a person he couldn't love. And if he would just acknowledge his part in that. So I want to say to people, we're not going to be able to get to the resolution part of this. We will in the next show. There is a way out, and there's only one way out. So we're going to talk about that in
one
the
good
time.
Godly way.
One good, yeah. Actually, one way. I don't think you can do this without God. When you get to that point where you've created a person that you can't love, there's only one way out of that, and it's got to involve God. So we'll get to that in the next show.
In the next show, and maybe a couple more. We don't know. This is good basic information. Marital counseling is definitely right there in your wheelhouse and what you deal with. You do life coaching. You do counseling for people struggling with anxiety and depression. And some of those issues, obviously, are individual issues that can be affecting the marriage as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of things can come up, but basic marriage counseling is very important, and Daniel has a lot of experience in that regard. If people are struggling, maybe they know somebody who's stuck, as they say, and has created a spouse that they don't love anymore, Daniel would love to help you. And how do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, call me at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you're going to find these radio shows and about 4 years of other radio shows. And actually, people email me through that. Did I not say that? And the offices are in Edmonds and Kirkland.
Okay, another great edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.